Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brady Quinn is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. I like talking to Brady Quinn about this stuff because I do think that he has more of a common sense approach than much of the, oh my God, this is continuing coverage of the most horrific thing people have seen in our lifetimes. But I don't know, is that, like, I haven't talked to Brady about this beforehand, so I don't know. He may be completely outraged at someone, but Brady Quinn, our friend and broadcaster extraordinaire, he's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Brady.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I was just headbanging out there to Nickelback, so I think I might have given myself a slight concussion off this interview. So I don't want to be held accountable for anything I say in the next 5-10
Understood.
Minutes.
Understood. We will point all the fingers at Nickelback, who now I'm starting to believe we might want to point the fingers at them for Tua.
Maybe.
Tell us your thoughts, Brady. So there's a whole bunch of collective outrage, and it's pointed at doctors and the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. It's pointed, I think, at football in general. There's a lot of outrage going on. So I'm just curious how you perceive what we witnessed from Tua Sunday in Buffalo up until last night when he did have a horrific head injury.
I think the tough part for me is twofold. The first is just from my own experience. You know, suffering concussions and really, to be quite frank, you know, covering up one so I could be active to have the opportunity to play the following week and calling it a neck injury. And so I understand how this process works. It's why when I saw the initial injury on Sunday, I thought to myself, sure, call it a back injury, whatever you want, but I know exactly what he's thinking. You know, this is a big year for Tua. He's in a position to be able to, you know, go out there and earn himself potentially a huge contract. And he's also got a warrior mentality. We tend to forget, like, this is the guy who opted to get surgery to come back sooner to play Joe Burrow back when he was at Alabama. And they literally basically put the equivalent of a bike chain in his ankle to come back faster from a high ankle sprain to play in that game when he was still hobbling around on one leg, still going throw for throw. So Tua's a warrior. He's got that sort of mentality to him. I'm not trying to say exactly what happened. I'm just telling you from my experience, you know, I was able to get around that protocol and all of that with the way I described my injuries to the athletic staff, to my team doctors. And unfortunately, I had, you know, a worse concussion later on that season. And that was where I kind of had to come to the realization that it's my fault for putting myself out there and in that position, being more vulnerable and then eventually suffering one where I was out for about 2 to 3 weeks with that. So, you know, look, this is part of the deal. This is what happens in football. You're going to have these unfortunate types of injuries and head injuries in particular. I think the interesting thing to me is how the Dolphins would have handled all of this if Tua was already under contract for $100 million, or how this is handled any different because he's still trying to prove himself. And I think the bigger question over all of that, should any of that ultimately matter? And I'm not naive enough to say that it does or doesn't, right? I mean, at this point, if you're paying a guy $100 million, you're probably taking better care of him at that point, or I would think you'd be more cautious about the investment that you've already made as opposed to a guy who's still trying to prove himself.
And Brady, to that point, because you said you found a way to finagle the system, I guess it is. And, you know, let's say Tua did the same. Whose job is it? Because that's what people do, is find this person to blame. Whose job is it to not let you say a concussion is a neck injury? Because everybody, I think the Dolphins, with these independent, you know, physicians, the Dolphins aren't at blame here, because the NFL took over this evaluation when they made the concussion protocol.
Well, I think the toughest part about something like, you know, a head injury, concussion, you know, TBI, whatever you want to describe, different head injuries, is that they implement this independent neurologist who's got to pass you. And I'll never forget having to go talk to a guy that I've never met before in my entire life. That's an incredibly smart human being, but has no background or anything about who I am as a person or, you know, anything. And yet I've got to then go have a conversation with him about, you know, my you know, medical history and my head injury. You know, there's one side of me that's like, it seems incredibly impersonal. I don't think it's the best way of doing it, or discovering if there's an actual issue there. And there's another part of me that's like, well, it was easier to dupe that guy. All he's looking at is a piece of paper and maybe some imaging or whatever else he's looking at. And it's maybe easier to get around someone who doesn't know the type of player he is. Like, I know plenty of guys who played through injuries or played through head injuries, and your team doctors knew, were like, hey, we got to protect this guy from himself. And I think with an independent neurologist who's a part of this equation, that guy doesn't really know much of anything outside of, like, his medical background, probably being a genius, but he doesn't actually know the individual and what makes them tick, and have kind of witnessed how they've played through these sorts of things in the past. So I think that's another flaw in this evaluation process.
Brady Quinn is with us. The reality is, though, because we're dealing with humans and, you know, I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, over the last couple of years, kind of think Tua is like this delicate flower, and they forget, like you say, this dude's a warrior. Mm-hmm. Like, you're dealing with humans, professional athletes on top of that. It's pretty hard to legislate out a warrior's mentality, which is what you're suggesting almost, right? Because if you want to protect someone from themselves, it's one thing. Who's on NFL or Amazon last night? Alex Whitworth? You had him on your Pivot show.
Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah. He was saying that he once, you know, had a head injury, went back in the game because he wanted to play, and his teammate said to him, there's something wrong with you. Like, I'm getting you off the field. And he's like, and I'm glad somebody stepped in and did that for me. But Tua, for all intents and purposes, after the injury on Sunday, when he came back in the second half, he looked great out there. And then in the postgame press conference, he sounded great, seemed to have all his faculties. And then you get to the independent neurologist, so whether he knows him or doesn't know him, or even the team physicians who know him and they're around him, if he appears okay and he says he's okay, it's pretty hard to legislate that away, no?
No, it is. And I think, just, you know, like, I have a foundation that works with veterans, and you see veterans that deal with all sorts of different traumatic brain injuries, TBI, concussions and things like that when they're actually in the battlefield. And the one interesting thing that, from the research and people I've talked to in regard to some of our foundational efforts, is they've talked about how there's some soldiers who'll be on the battlefield, there'll be an IED that hits, and there's some that are right there next to the same guy. One will suffer a concussion, one won't. You know, one will end up suffering from TBI, one won't. And there's almost maybe even a genetic makeup component. I mean, there's so little that we still know about the human brain and how it operates. But to your point about the warrior mentality with all that, I think it's tough because most players look at this as a window of opportunity to not only do and play the game you love, but, you know, be able to make life-changing money and have the opportunity to do that. And I think you ask a lot of guys, you know, are they willing to sacrifice their body or maybe what their life looks like down the road in order to secure that? And they'd say yes. I mean, that's part of their motivation behind the game in general. There's other guys who get motivated. They do it for fans. They do it for all sorts of other reasons. But I think that's something that it's almost like a boxing corner, right? I mean, you train this guy to literally walk into a fight, and you know he's going to get hit. You know he's going to get knocked down, you know, potentially. But, you know, you've got to have maybe that guy that knows when to throw in the white towel. And I think the toughest thing is most boxers never want that. I mean, they'll be getting their butt kicked, and yet the second their corner throws in the towel, it's almost like they turn on the corner to get in a fight because they want to fight their way out of it. And I think that's the hardest thing is, you know, how do you protect a player from that warrior mentality or from himself, because I think all of us, you know, want to fight back and we want to like try to get back into the game or finish the game in the case of, you know, this past Sunday. But then you see obviously what can potentially open yourself up to with what happened Thursday night.
And Brady, it's crazy that Hawk told the Andrew Whitworth story, because I heard that as well. But there were plenty of times when I played with Zach Thomas that he would hit somebody and then tell me to call the huddle, because I figured out later he was blurry and couldn't see the coach on the sideline signaling in, so he would send me up to call it. And then it was a game in New Orleans where I didn't know where to line up, and Zach just pushed me in the B-gap, CC, B-gap. And I stood there and just played off instinct, because that warrior mentality is there. You made it to the league. I'm playing next to Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, Junior Seau. I'm not leaving the game. And that was that mentality there. And just to what y'all are saying about Brady, it's – I don't know how you legislate that out of football.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it, because humans are humans. And then, you know, professional athletes are a different level. I mean, I'm around it because I'm around professional athletes for my career. But I know the difference in mentality. I mean, hell, I'm looking at Solana through the glass. I mean, the guy's on his second knee surgery, Brady, in 18 months. I mean, he's got like a little clicking going on in his knee. I'm sorry, Solana, but I'm staring right at you.
Erroneous.
Well, it's not erroneous.
Bring me in here.
I mean, I think the hard thing, too, is for some guys, you know, that's what separates, you know, them from the rest, is their ability to play through those injuries, their ability to play through that and have that sort of toughness. And they're viewed as that by their peers, like they're respected for it. And so then it's almost like you don't want to show any weakness, or you don't want to be the guy that's not out there because you're a leader or you're in that position. I mean, Crowder, you talk about Zach Thomas, a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at a guy like that and just go, yeah, he probably doesn't want to ever come off the field for any reason. You know, for that in particular, right? A guy who's looked at who was undersized but played always bigger than he was. I mean, he didn't want to give anyone any reason to doubt him or say, yeah, see, he gets hurt all the time. He's too small. I mean, there's always something that, you know, I think you're kind of fighting in that regard. And, you know, football players, you know, that's part of their identity. It's part of why the sport is different than every other sport out there, because there's a legitimate element of physical toughness that I think you have to prove and showcase. And I think that's the fine line right now, is where do you draw that line between how people are viewed as being physically tough and playing the game, but making sure you're doing what's right for that individual and for that player's own safety.
And Brady, it wasn't a helmet to helmet under the chin hit. Either one of them, the Bills game when Milano hit him, or last night, it was that swinging him around with the head hitting the ground, or pushing him with the head hitting the ground. As a quarterback, and I know you've taken those hits 100 times, is there a way to protect yourself when a 290-pound man jams you in the chest or swings you around his whole body and slams you on the ground?
Yeah, don't let it happen. I mean, you look at that play in particular, right? It was like a move-the-pocket play, held on the football too long. You look at some of the guys who never suffer or didn't suffer those types of hits and injuries. I mean, eventually you play long enough, it's going to happen. But Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, guys who the Mannings are, get the ball out of the hand quick. Now, you got to be good enough, obviously, to overcome that, throwing footballs away and living to play another down. But I mean, guys who tend to hold on to the football longer as quarterbacks, unless you're Lamar Jackson, usually that's not a good thing. Like, usually for your offense, there's not something better that's going to happen. You want to get that ball out of your hand quick and prevent that hit from ever even taking place. So, I mean, that's the tough part. So for some players, that's part of their game. It's like when things break down, that's when they can become special, and that's when they can create – and improvise. But you also, you know, potentially are subjecting yourselves to getting hit. You don't have the protection of the pocket or the protection of the actual timing of that play.
Do you have any, just out of curiosity, any lingering concussion syndromes that you deal with to this day?
No. I had a really bad one, a scary one in college, where I played the entire second half of the game and literally have no recollection of it whatsoever. I mean, it wasn't until the very end of the game I came out, started puking on the sidelines, and went through this like repetitive broken record of, like, you know, just saying and asking the same things over and over and over again. And I don't have any recollection of it, but I was told it secondhand and spent the night in the hospital and all that. My dad was there with me, and he was pretty freaked out by it. And he served in Vietnam. So I was kind of sitting there when I woke up, finally came conscious, and he's looking at me. I'm like, can I call mom? He goes, I don't think that's a good idea. She's pretty scared right now. You've called her six times saying the same exact thing. And he was like, at some point, he's like, you know, you'll come to consciousness. That's what the doctors are telling us. So, you know, there's I think everyone experiences it in their own way when you go through a concussion, you go through some of those injuries. But I've been lucky, at least at this point, I haven't suffered any long-term effects, although I'm sure my wife would say otherwise.
Scary, man. Scary as hell, right? Head injuries story. Are just, you know, watching it last night, like you could feel just, you know, your stomach turning when he had those hand movements. Yeah, it was really.
I just drank my way out of those.
That's probably, I think, what they recommend in most countries. Man, yeah, I think.
Like you're woozy, so right. Just keep getting more woozy with Hennessy.
Several medical societies, I think, just say drink your way out of it. which medical societies are those, Brady? You probably know that.
I mean, it depends on which ones in particular you're talking about. There's a Coors Light one. There's a Miller.
What's the best way to drink yourself out of it? Is it Hams? Is Hams a good way to drink yourself out of it?
It all depends on whatever your taste is.
You played in Cleveland. Wow, I'm going to let you go. I know you have to go, and we have to go as well. You played in Cleveland, though. You like Skyline Chili? Because I know they're all over Ohio.
They are, but it's more of a Cincinnati thing.
Right.
So I'm not sure what we're talking about here, Hawk. But, Skyline was the chili of choice. Gold Star was its competitor, but in my opinion doesn't live up to what Skyline Chili is. So I was a Skyline guy.
Well, you like Skyline because I get a lot of heat from Crowder, and Solana was in Cincinnati yesterday, and he went to Skyline, and I happen to love it. I've never been to one in Cincinnati, only the one in South Florida. But I love it, and they think it's like dog
I make too much money to eat.
Oh, it's its own thing. It's its own thing. I mean, you can't
chili?
like people are like, oh, it's not chili. I'm like, well, it's not really chili. It's like it's Skyline Chili. It's its own, you know, version of that. Just appreciate it for what it is and move on with your life.
The big plate of cheese and the spaghetti
noodles. You gotta get mounds of cheese on there.
Oh my god, talk about it. All right, there you go, Brady Quinn, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making time for us today. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always fun.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.